Dude.
Yeah.
Dude!
What?
I just had a terrible thought.
So I was on Facebook the other day, and like most people, if you have a Facebook, you update your status. Mine just happened to be that I was practicing the art of exhaling like a badass with my cigarette, and I got a comment saying, just think how much money you could put into tattoos if you quit smoking. In response, I said, that reminds me, I've always wanted shut the fuck up tattooed on me.
Right.
Because I was kind of pissed. It pissed me off. That kind of shit, you know, how much money you could save if you quit smoking, that pissed me off.
Yeah, it's total bullshit. I mean, people always say things like, man, if you quit smoking, think about how much money you would save. Like, think about by the end of the year, how many packs do you buy? Let's say you do a pack a day.
I hear that all the time, yeah.
Let's say you smoke a pack a day, and let's go conservative and say that each pack costs $5. You smoke a pack a day, $5 a day for 365 days a year. How much is that?
Ooh, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. I'm no good at math.
I'm not going to add that up. It's a lot of money. Yeah, but that shit pisses me off. So today, I work with this guy. I'm like heading back to my department, and he's walking towards me. And as he walks by me, he looks kind of pissed. He goes, STFU. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then it hit me because in my response, I said, you know, shut the fuck up, STFU. I abbreviated. And I'm like, what the fuck? What is wrong with this guy? So he's kind of pissed at me because I responded that way. But fuck you. You know, I'm so sick of this shit. Like, you know, if you quit smoking, you'll save money to buy what? Really? What am I going to buy?
More tattoos, apparently.
Shit. Well, tattoos, you
Although,
know, other stupid shit.
You don't have any tattoos, so it's not like there's a precedent there. Like, you could buy more tattoos.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, you could get a tattoo. But, see, I didn't get to finish saying why I think it's bullshit. It's bullshit, well, for a few reasons. For one thing, yeah, if I stopped smoking, I'd have a bunch more money. But if I stopped doing anything, I'd have a bunch more money. If I stopped eating fast food, if I stopped drinking,
if you stopped buying alcohol,
if I stopped listening to music,
buying CDs, if you stopped buying clothes, anything.
Of course you'd have more money. If I only ate lima beans and fucking oatmeal, I'd have way more money.
Exactly.
But it's also silly because, like, let's say I spend $5 a day on cigarettes.
Yeah.
If I didn't spend that on cigarettes, it's not like it would all go into a separate fucking account, and by the end of the year, I'd have all this money.
Yeah.
I'd spend it on something else retarded. I'd spend it on candy bars or beef jerky. I'd spend it on fucking just bullshit. Who gives a... I'd spend it on something. It's not like it would go away into my savings.
To a special account, yeah. Like if you didn't buy cigarettes, somehow this you'd wise up and, you know, invest your money in the stock market or into a, you know.
And when you spend money on cigarettes, you're buying a product. It's not like you're throwing money into a hole. Like, cigarettes are bad for you, sure, absolutely. But you're still buying a product, and it's something that you want. It's not like you're getting nothing for your money.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, I don't feel bad for saying, you know, shut the fuck up.
Well, and more accurately, what you actually said was, yeah, that reminds me, I've always wanted to get STFU tattooed on my body.
Yeah.
Which is a little more clever than just telling
I would
to
like
shut
to
the
get
fuck
that.
Up.
Yeah, yeah. It was a little more clever. But basically, I just wanted, you know, I wanted to say in a clever way, yeah, like you said, shut the fuck up.
See, now, I understand that cigarettes are bad for you. Like I said, there's nothing good for you about cigarettes. The only good thing about cigarettes is that, depending on who you are, they might make you feel good. Like, smoking might make you feel good in some sense or another. Either it keeps you busy and that makes you feel better, or you actually get like a little bit of a pick-me-up out of it, like drinking coffee or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's nothing really good about cigarettes. They're completely just harmful. But then, for one thing, so are fucking hamburgers, and nobody gives you shit for eating hamburgers. But
or bad food in general, junk food, yeah.
Well, except for fucking, like, PETA and people like that, I guess. I guess they give you shit for eating hamburgers. And, like,
well,
I guess
them, yeah.
If you meet some asshole whose, like, life revolves around working out all the fucking time, like some kind of personal trainer or something,
oh.
They might give you shit for eating hamburgers. But most people won't give you shit for stopping by McDonald's once in a while. Even if you did it every day, unless you were ballooning up to 700 pounds, people probably aren't going to say anything.
Yeah.
But my point was that I find it annoying when people feel the need to tell me things that I already know. Things that they know I already know.
Exactly.
Fuck, like, if you stopped smoking, you'd save all this money by the end of the year. Really? You mean I've been spending money on cigarettes? Or,
yeah.
if you continue to smoke, you might get cancer someday or emphysema. Really?
No.
Smoking is bad for you? I'd never heard. It doesn't say that right on the side of the package or anything. Are you fucking retarded? Of course I know it's bad for you. I knew it was bad for you when I started.
Yeah. My big problem is, you know, when they say that, they assume I have a problem. And I don't see it that way. It's like, you know, if you quit, you know, spending your money in that shit, you know, because you have a problem, you know, you could put it to better use.
Well, sure, you could put it to better use. I could put almost all the money I spend, I could be putting to better use.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot, just like everybody else. I spend my money on stupid bullshit. I've bought movies that I've watched once and never watched again. You know, I've bought, like, action figures that I just put on the shelf.
Yeah.
Like, just stupid bullshit. Of course I've bought bullshit. When I went to Japan, I bought Japanese video games that I can't play because I can't read them. I think it's cool to have them. That's why I bought it. But of course I could put that money to better use. I mean, that's stupid. Of course I could.
Yeah.
Every stupid thing you've ever bought in your life, that money could have been put to better use.
Yeah. It's just, it bugs me that they assume that I have a problem and that I'm just clearly unaware of it. I don't consider it a problem. I smoke because I like it. You know, I get fucking pissed off at work and I need a fucking cigarette and it calms my nerves. So
it's a social thing too. Like, one thing that's always annoyed me is that people will take smoke breaks. It depends on where you work, if you're actually allowed to do this. But people will take smoke breaks, which are like somehow excluded from regular breaks, and they'll just wander away from the job and smoke for 10 minutes. So it's like, if you're allotted to 10-minute breaks and 1 half-hour lunch for an 8-hour day.
Yeah.
These people also get like 2 or 3 extra 10-minute breaks.
That's fucking annoying.
That's annoying. I've never done that. But there are people at my work who do.
Oh, man. What makes you so special?
But it's kind of a social thing. They'll go out together on their smoke break and they'll hang out.
Chit-chat.
It's an excuse to get together and whatever. And like people who go to parties at other people's houses, if the person doesn't allow smoking in their house, everybody will go outside to smoke together.
In
a group. It's a social thing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I do that too. But there's many reasons. If I'm at work, I smoke because you know, my nerves are rocking. Or if I'm going on break, I'm like, well, I might as well smoke. There's many reasons, but like I tie that in with like everything, smoking, drinking. Like, you obviously have a problem. Like, every fucking day I buy beer like every other day and I get the same shit from the people. Like, you're buying more beer? Didn't you just buy beer? I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you.
Yes, I did. And I drank it.
Yes.
That's what it's for, idiot.
Just because, and I can tell they think I have a problem. Well, no, I'm going home and having fun. What are you doing? You're going to watch fucking Transformers 2 and like...
get tattoos.
Not that, but do stupid shit, you know? I know they're doing stupid shit.
Everybody does stupid shit. Some of it's more harmful than others, but everybody does stupid shit.
Like uncool shit. Like shit where I would look at that guy and go, wow, you're not cool. I'm not hanging out with you. So fuck you, because I'm cool.
Yeah, I'm so badass with my cigarettes. I just smoke because I like it. I don't depend on it. I don't need it to calm my nerves. I don't need it for anything. I just like doing it.
Have you ever gotten really pissed and you're like, I need a cigarette? And
No.
I hate saying that.
No.
I hate it. Like, something happens and I hate when someone says, I need a cigarette.
I'm not being a douche.
No, you don't.
I'm not being a douche. I haven't. I've never said, I need a cigarette.
If I'm pissed off, I need one.
I really
needed
a cigarette.
I want one. Yeah, like you said, I want one.
But not like I'm so stressed out. I don't know. It doesn't do anything to calm my nerves, like I said. But I'm not saying that it shouldn't for you. A lot of people feel that way about it.
Everybody's different, yeah.
I could quit right now. And I know that's a stupid thing. People say that all the time. I could quit anytime I want. I could quit right now.
You hear that all the time, yeah.
I'm tempted to quit. Fuck it. I quit. I got a pack here that's full. I'm going to finish this fucking pack. I'm done. I quit.
Don't do it for the show.
No, I quit. I just did.
All right.
I quit.
You just quit? All
right. Yep. It's going to be awesome. Fuck you, motherfuckers. I can quit anytime I want.
You're going to come back with some ultralights, and then the next week it will be back with cigarettes.
Why would I come
cigars.
Back with ultralights? If I was going to cheat, I'd come back with what I was smoking.
It's
now.
A fucking ritual. Have you noticed? Do you know people that
have
quit?
Of course it's a ritual, but I could stop doing it. Like, I wasn't doing it before. I can stop doing it now.
No, like the ritual of everybody that wants to quit that you've known. Or you've ran into, like, quitting.
They try to step back down?
Yeah, they step down, they'll go to ultralights, and they're like, oh, I know I said I was going to quit.
I don't think that's the way to do it. If you're going to quit, you just got to quit. Because I'm sure
dumb, obviously.
It has worked for people. They've been able to wean themselves off of it. Like, I smoke a pack a day now, I'll smoke half a pack a day. I'll make myself only smoke half a pack a day. And then maybe I'll switch to ultralights and only smoke half a pack a day. And then I'll smoke a quarter of a pack a day. And then I'll get on the nicotine patch and I'll stop smoking altogether, but I'll be on the nicotine patch. okay, I'm sure that can work for some people, but I think the best way to do it is just to say, if you really want to quit, just say, all right, I'm done. And yeah. just don't do it anymore.
It's a lot of it's mental, yeah.
I'm not saying it's easy.
You can't, you can't just trick yourself. You got to fucking do it, you know.
But I quit.
I'm done. I quit.
Tonight doesn't count, and tomorrow might not count either if I still have some left in this pack. But after this pack, I'm done. I quit.
Oh, man. What about our smoke breaks?
Well, you're just going to have to smoke two. Smoke
all
one for me.
Alone. All right. All right.
You're going to have to up your habit. So actually, what I'm doing is kind of an asshole thing.
No. We don't take smoke breaks. We smoke in the apartment.
Yeah.
It's all good. But
fuck it. I've been thinking about it for a while, actually. I mean, I might as well. And like,
you'll save so much money.
It's been affecting my my throat a little bit lately.
Yeah.
Like, I've been having to clear my throat more often and stuff.
Eh. Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, right.
You're hacking shit up.
I haven't hacked shit up, exactly. Like, I've never
You got to smoke for years, yeah, for that shit.
Yeah, but whatever. Yeah, I'm done. Fuck you, assholes. I'll show you. I can just fucking quit. I can just stop. And just to put a little qualifier on it, I can't say for sure that I'll never, ever smoke a cigarette again.
Yeah.
Because if I'm lucky, I'm going to live for another, I'm 26 now, so I'll probably live for another 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
Maybe longer. So, you know, at some point in there, I might say, I'm at a bar or something. Okay, I'll take one.
Yeah.
But I quit. I'm not going to buy any more packs. I'm done. Fuck it.
Hey, that's cool. I just hope you don't turn into that guy. And you know that guy that's at the bar that has quit, and he's like, yeah, I quit, but can I bum a smoke, bro?
No, because that wouldn't be quitting.
Yeah, it's like, fuck.
Like
yeah.
I said, 20 years from now, if I'm at a bar and somebody's like, hey, you want a cigarette? And I'm like, okay. That's not like I fell off the fucking wagon. That's another thing that I don't fully understand. Like, with all addictions, people say shit I think we sort of touched on this when we talked about alcoholism.
Oh, yeah,
the
wagon thing, yeah.
Falling off the wagon. Like, if you're an alcoholic, you're an alcoholic for life. Doesn't matter if you've been sober for 40 fucking years, you're still an alcoholic. And if you have one beer, you're fucked.
You are off the wagon.
People will tell you it is impossible for you to become a responsible drinker if you're an alcoholic. And I think that's bullshit. I think it's maybe you're putting yourself in a position of temptation. Like you might, if you're drinking a little bit, you're more likely to start drinking a lot again than if you weren't drinking at all. But to say that it's impossible is bullshit.
Yeah.
Stupid. I guarantee you there have been people who have done it. I don't have any documented cases, but I guarantee you there have been people who have had a serious drinking problem and at some point have said, you know what? I'm going to cut back. And they've cut back and they've been fine.
They've been fine. Yeah.
I guarantee it. That's just stupid. It's not magic.
It's all social, yeah. You got to quit to be better.
It's all in your head.
The wagon.
If you can convince yourself that you're drinking too much, then you can convince yourself to drink less. That's just stupid, of course.
Yeah. Fuck this wagon thing. God. It's like you're in or you're out. You're with us or you're a dumbass.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I'll get off the wagon and I'll walk and I'll be content. I'll be happy. Fuck you.
I'll get off the wagon and I'll walk.
I'm getting too deep into this metaphor.
Fuck you, assholes. I'm walking.
Yeah, everybody, they have this, you know, the step down thing, you know, to quit.
Yeah.
If I were to quit, I really think I'd have to step it up. And I mean it like this, and this is my way. If I want to quit, I believe I'm going to have to, instead of stepping down to ultralights from regular or lights or whatever, I'm going to have to start buying unfiltered, you know, non-filtered, lucky strikes.
So you won't want to smoke
them as
much?
So I won't want to smoke because they're harsh. Oh, or I'll start buying the cheapest cigarettes there are and they're real dry and, you know, they taste like shit. Like I've done that before. I'm going to buy the cheapest cigarettes because fuck, I'm buying cigarettes. Why pay more for a brand, you know?
Right.
But it really does kind of matter a little bit. I mean, it's all smoking, but you buy the cheap shit that nobody's buying. Those fucking packs sit on the shelf forever and that shit dries out and you're smoking it. It tastes more like a campfire rather than.
Yeah, that's the shit that fucking grizzled old men and ladies smoke. Like there was this old lady that used to come into 7-Eleven that smoked Camel non-filters.
Oh.
And she was the only person that ever bought them.
Yeah.
And she looked like she was 3,000 years old. And she sounded like E.T. Elliot. Hey, can I get a pack of Camel non-filters?
Oh, God, that's discouraging.
Yeah, so...
I really think it'd work for me, though.
But she'd probably been smoking those her whole life.
Yeah, she just prefers that. I've tried Lucky Strikes and non-filters, and I can't do it. It's so bad.
And like, I imagine after 3,000 years, it'd be hard to switch brands.
Yeah. But I really think it'd work. Yeah, it would. I think my problem is routine.
Yeah.
Like, I smoke one on the way to work. I smoke one on break. I smoke one on the way back from work. And
yeah.
Like, it's a routine. If I cut it out of my routine, I'll be cutting back, and that'll be like a step forward. Because like, if I start buying non-filters, I'm not going to smoke them as often. I won't be like, ooh, another cigarette. I'll be like, yeah, I'll wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
I guess that's sort of like when my dad was a little kid.
Yeah.
My grandpa used to smoke when my dad was a kid, and I forget if my dad got caught with a cigarette or if my dad was just asking about it or what.
Yeah.
But, no, okay, I'm getting my stories confused.
No, that's fine.
Why? What happened to my dad was he asked my grandpa about his cigarettes.
Yeah.
My grandpa gave him one and made him smoke the whole thing.
Oh, man.
He never wanted to touch cigarettes again.
Okay.
What I was thinking about was just kind of a general story of like, it didn't happen to my dad, but it's happened to people where like they'll get caught smoking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And their parents will make them smoke a whole pack in one sitting.
Yep.
As like punishment. And then, of course, you're not going to want to do it again if you're like a little kid who's never done it before in the first place. And all of a sudden, you smoked a whole pack at once. Yeah. Of course, you're not going to want to do it again.
Oh, shit.
So I guess it's the same kind of idea.
Yeah. You ever get that high, you know, when you first started?
I guess a little bit. A
little buzz.
But it's the same kind of...
You smoked it too quick because you're not sure how to smoke. You're like, how do I do this? Do I smoke it quick? How long in between puffs? And it, at first, at least with me, it wasn't, you know, very long. I'd be like, puff, puff, you know, and then I get this head brush and I'm like, I feel like I was kind of stoned.
Did I ever tell the story about the first time I ever smoked?
If you did, I forget, so...
I didn't actually start smoking then, but it was the first time I'd ever even tried it. And it's kind of a retarded story.
Oh, you never brought that up. Yeah, go ahead.
I was on the way to school in sixth grade, and I used to ride my bike to school, and I was riding my bike, and I saw a cigarette, just a whole cigarette, laying on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
It wasn't dirty or anything. It was laying on the sidewalk, so I'm sure it was dirty, but it wasn't like
it looked
visually
fine.
Dirty. Yeah. It looked fine. I picked it up and put it in my pocket. Went to school, had it in my pocket the whole day, went home from school. I was home alone. I took it into the bathroom. I got a pack of matches because we didn't have any lighters in the house.
Yeah.
Got a pack of matches. I lit it up and I was puffing on it for a little while. Like, you know, taking the smoke into my mouth and blowing it out, but not inhaling.
Yeah.
But I knew you were supposed to inhale. So I tried that a little bit and I smoked maybe half the cigarette.
Yeah.
And I was kind of indifferent to it. I was like, well, this isn't as bad as I've always heard.
It's no big deal, yeah.
But it isn't great either.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I figured I was done with it. I smoked half of it. But then I realized I'd been doing this in the bathroom with the door closed. And my mom has the nose of a fucking bloodhound. She has the most insane sense of smell. And I knew I was going to get caught.
Oh, shit.
And she hates the smell of cigarette smoke anyway.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? So we had some microwave burritos in the freezer. And I went and I got one, and I took it to the microwave. I put it in the microwave for 40 minutes. Burned the shit out of it.
Clever boy.
Smoke all over the kitchen, and the bathroom was off the kitchen.
Yeah,
and I left the bathroom door open so the smoke could get in there, too.
Yeah.
And I turned like a little fan in the bathroom on as if that was going to really do anything. But
yeah. Man, that is clever.
So the whole house was stunk up with burrito smoke. I told my mom, oh, I meant to put it in for... I don't know, 40 seconds, 4 minutes, whatever it was. But I accidentally hit the zero too many times.
Yeah,
and
forgot about it.
I never got caught.
Wow, man.
But yeah, so that's the first time I ever tried it. Kind of a stupid, like, I don't know why. I'm going to go into the bathroom and close the door. The room that everybody goes in, I'm going to close the door and block the smoke into it.
Oh, man.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah. I would have went outside. I mean, I'm surprised that didn't, like...
I think the reason I didn't go outside was because my neighbors would have saw me doing it.
Oh, and they would have told your mom and dad.
They might have. You know, I don't know. I was young. I was in sixth grade, so I was like 11.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If I was a neighbor, and I saw, you know, the neighbor kids smoking out and back, and I knew the parents weren't home, you know, I wouldn't mention it, but I can picture them mentioning it to your parents. Yeah. You were smoking.
Now, did you try it as a kid at all, or did you not try it until you were...
No, I was much older. Shit, I was like fucking 20 or 21. Yeah, all curiosity.
Now, I know I've kind of mentioned this before a little bit.
Yeah.
But for a while, I was very I guess you could have called me straight edge. I was very a lot of things. I was very anti-smoking. I was very anti-recreational drug use. I was very anti-drinking. And this was like right out of high school and in high school. And when Orion and I first moved in together, I was still kind of like that. And I remember finding a pack of cigarettes in his closet. And I wasn't going through his closet. His closet didn't have a door on it. And it was just sitting out just in the open where I could see it.
Yeah.
And I asked you about it.
I remember that. Oh, shit.
And I forget what you said. Like
I remember that moment vividly. Yeah. Because I felt like I was caught by my dad. I don't know why. It was just, I don't know. Like the whole drinking thing, you know, I felt guilty. You instilled the guilt.
Right.
You know? But when you found the pack, I had bought a pack and I never smoked it. I was like, well, I'm curious, but I never found the time. I was busy. And though I was curious, I couldn't find like, you know, should I go outside? Kyle might come home and see me and call me a fag. So it just sat there unopened for a while and you found it. But I forget when I lit the first one. It had to be like, it was when we were living together, but it was much later. And I remember I went to work and they sold lottery tickets up at the, you know, the courtesy desk and cigarettes.
Right.
And I pretended that my roommates wanted smokes because everybody I worked with knew I didn't smoke. And I bought a pack of smokes, took it home, and I smoked one. And it was like, this is really not that big a deal. And I wasn't inhaling. I didn't inhale for years. Isn't that weird? I wasn't addicted.
Did you not know you were supposed to?
I knew you were supposed to, but it didn't occur to me that I wasn't doing it. I was kind of sucking it in and blowing it out. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like, you know, super exaggeration, you know. But yeah, I didn't do anything. I wasn't addicted. I thought it was all bullshit. I did get the head buzz, though, a little bit.
I don't think I really got it the first time.
Some people, yeah, you talk to them, they're like, oh, I got it. But some don't.
It's really not that fucking great anyway. If you've ever blown up a bunch of balloons in rapid succession.
Yeah.
And you know, you get that little tingle in your head, like lack of oxygen. That's what the cigarette buzz is kind of like. It's not that big a deal.
It's you feel a little lightheaded for a little bit, for a few seconds.
This may sound kind of stupid. I always knew I was supposed to inhale and I always knew what that meant. But when I first started, I didn't realize that the easiest way to do it was to kind of suck some into your mouth and then inhale it, you know?
Yeah.
So you take like a drag off the cigarette and then inhale it instead of just like breathing it, like just inhaling into your lungs while the cigarette's in your mouth. Like, does that make any sense?
Do you know what I mean? That makes sense. I know what you're talking about.
So it was very awkward when I started doing it because I would put the cigarette in my mouth and essentially go,
yeah.
And that like didn't really work right. Took me a while to figure out how to
think it too hard about it. Yeah. When I would drive with a cigarette,
when I moved to that stage,
holy shit, I would fuck that up constantly. I didn't know, like, I was like, how many seconds should go by before I flick it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd be driving, and I'm driving, you know, not used to it. And then I look at the cigarette, and it's got, like, half of it's gone, and it's all ash. And I'm like, oh, shit! So I ash it off, and it's in my lap, like, on fire.
I dropped a couple on the floor. And I almost swerved out of my lane because I was so concerned about like not dropping ashes all over the place.
Yeah.
So I was like looking at the ashtray every 2 seconds.
So you're not looking at the road. Yeah. Same here. Yeah. I was trying to be very careful to get it right in the ashtray. So, you know, and you're not looking at the road. It was just so stupid.
Yeah. It's silly and it makes you feel silly. And it is a silly thing to do.
It's silly.
Smoking is a silly thing to do.
Yeah.
It does, I guess, look cool. You know, people in movies smoking, you know, you make a good point or whatever, and then you flick the cigarette.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like a visual form of punctuation. Like,
yeah.
It's got that kind of aesthetic going for it.
Oh, yeah.
And people say, well, that makes kids want to do it. Well,
I was just about to say that, yeah.
I guess it does, but, I mean, who cares? Every kid who starts smoking knows it's bad for them when they do it.
Yeah, yeah.
They all know and they do it anyway. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Just ban it? I guess. Let's just ban everything bad that people ever do.
Yeah. I know they want to ban smoking in movies for fucking years, man.
How stupid is that?
And I recapped on this when I posted that status update on Facebook. I was like puffing my cigarette like a badass in multiple ways. And then I was like, I was kind of bored, and I'm like looking up on YouTube or the internet in general, like the most badass smoking scenes in movies. And all I could find were all these articles on people trying to ban smoking in movies, and I couldn't find anything good except for Edward Furlong.
Eddie Furlong.
Yeah, he had some videos. They weren't on YouTube. Every smoking video that was linked to YouTube was taken down. I don't know if you're not allowed to smoke in a video on YouTube or something.
I'm sure you are. Whatever.
It was a coincidence then. It was like three videos, but I did find one, and it was him, and it was badass. That guy can smoke on film.
Yeah, I remember there was a pretty badass scene in the movie Detroit Rock City, I think, which was kind of a stupid movie, but it's the Kiss movie. Did you ever see it?
I didn't see it, but yeah.
But there's a scene where they beat the shit out of these disco guys. And I think there's some badass smoking involved in that scene.
Yeah, you told me about that. He's got a badass scene in American History X.
Yeah.
Oh, he's puffing away like the whole movie. And then there's that scene with the black kid in the bathroom, and he blows that smoke in his face. He's so badass.
Of course, that ultimately gets him killed. Yep. But
who was that one thing? Ooh. So, but yeah.
So I've been having a lot of trouble sleeping lately.
Yeah.
Ever since we got back from Vegas, actually, like
Jesus, months ago.
Seriously, that like my sleep schedule got all fucked up because of the time change and because we were staying up so late.
Yeah. Real fucking late.
Ever since then, I haven't been able to get back in the swing of things. And of course, doing this doesn't really help because we do this really late at night. But and I got to get up at 8 a.m.
Ooh.
Or I got to be to work at 8 a.m. I got to get up at 7 a.m. But anyway, so I've been having a lot of trouble sleeping lately. And when I finally do get to sleep, when it comes time to get up, you know, the alarm goes off. And I'm so...
You've been having dreams.
Because I haven't been sleeping for that long, I'm like right in the middle of like the deepest part of sleep,
it's
I guess.
It's always at the end, yeah.
And I'm having a dream, and I have a lot of dreams about podcasting, actually.
Yeah.
And I'll be dreaming that we're like recording the podcast, or we're recording a promo for the podcast, or we're recording something related to the podcast, and it's going great. It's fucking podcast gold. It's hilarious.
Yeah, podcast gold.
Everybody's going to love it.
Everybody's so laughing.
I'm so proud of it. And I use a cell phone as my alarm, and the phone goes off, and I wake up, but I don't really wake up. Like, I kind of half wake up, and I pick up the phone, and I think that the segment we just did is done, and I need to now save it. And I've been recording it the whole time on the phone. This has happened several times. It wasn't just like one day this
happened.
Multiple times. I will wake up, I'll look at the phone, I'll go, okay, how do I save this? And I'll like flip the phone over. I'm like looking at the back of the phone, like, where's the save button?
Where's the save button?
I'm going through the menus. Save. Come on, save. And I finally look at the screen, and there's nothing on it, and I'm like,
alarm's gone, yeah.
I guess I lost it.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, well, fuck it. We'll say something else funny. We're fucking geniuses. And then I close the phone, and I lay back down and go back to sleep. And
what do you
think that I'm going back to podcasting, which is extra retarded because, like, I know that laying down and closing my eyes and going to sleep is not how you podcast. But
for
some reason,
out of it.
I'm so out of it that I think I'm going back to podcasting. I'll wake up a little bit later because the alarm, I've got like three alarms set. And I'll wake up when the next alarm goes off, and I'll think the same thing again, and I'll try to save it again.
That's so fucking
This has
funny.
Happened so many times.
When you told me about that the first time, I was dying. That was fucking hilarious.
Have you ever done that, though? Like, been, like, half asleep and done something completely retarded?
Yeah.
Not like you're drunk in sleep where you pee on things.
Oh, yeah. Well, excluding. But, it pisses me off. I don't recall certain things as funny as that, but it pisses me off that the most vivid dreams come at the end. It's always like 8 hours or almost 8 hours into the sleep, you get the real vivid shit, and that's when you got to get up for work.
I wonder if that's really true, though. I wonder if it's not just that since that was the last dream you had, that's the one you remember most vividly.
That might be it, but it seems to, I don't know. Yeah, it is the one I remember vaguely, but it's the deep one that I wake up and I'm like, you know, you're completely out of it. You're still kind of in the dream, like, what's going on? You hear the alarm as different sounds, like,
yeah, absolutely. I've heard the alarm as people talking to me or singing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like,
or
like
it's like a beat.
On
like,
the phone, the alarm actually is music, but when I used to use a regular alarm clock that just goes I've heard the alarm as music.
Yeah, it's not consistent. It's like and you're like, what is that?
When I was a kid getting ready for school in the morning at my mom's house, I would often stay up a little too late, and I'd be really sleepy in the morning.
Me too. Yeah.
And I'd be getting ready, and I'd be all ready, and I'm just waiting for my mom and my sister to get ready so that they can drive me to work. Well, my mom can drive us to work or to school.
To school, yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm kind of falling asleep, nodding off. My mom's talking to me, and I hear everything she's saying. I nod off. I still hear everything she's saying, except that all the words I'm hearing are not what she's actually saying. And then I'll respond, and I'll say, no, I don't want a banana. She'll go, what? And I'll go, what? And she'll go, what? You just said something about a banana. I said, didn't you say? Never mind. And what she was actually saying was something like, did you do your homework, whatever? And yeah. I heard, hey, you want a banana?
Yeah, there have been times when I've been out, you know, in the living room and you've been sleeping and I can hear you kind of mumbling, but it's always like something's chasing you or something. You're like, no.
I do talk in my sleep sometimes. I've been told that by my mom when I was a kid. My sister once said, she swears this happened. I don't know if it's true, but she swears I was sleeping on the couch, like taking a nap in the living room. Yeah. And I just kind of sat up all of a sudden and said, where's my breakfast? and then laid right back down and went back to sleep. But like my ex-girlfriends have told me that I talk in my sleep and they can't figure out what I'm saying. I don't know. It's interesting to me. I'd love to hear somebody talking in their sleep.
Oh, man. Yeah, if I could record that without you waking up, that'd be great. That'd be so awesome.
I'm sure it's mostly unintelligible, though. It's
yeah, like, most of it, yeah. From what I've heard across the room, it's always mumbling. I have the tendency to, from what I hear from Aldi, I laugh in my sleep, but it's always right before I wake up. Always. It's like she's up and she's kind of moving around and she looks over and I'm going, and then she'll wake me up and she's like, what were you dreaming about? And I'm like, what are you talking about? What's going on? And I have no idea. But then one time, God, I forget what I was laughing about, but she woke me up. And I was still like in the dream world and I explained what happened and then I came to and she told me what I had said. Oh, I forget what it was. It wasn't that funny, but it was interesting because I explained it. I'm like, I was on a spaceship and you're a real bitch. You are a bitch.
And, have you ever like I've taken naps because I'm supposed to get up at 7 in the morning, be to work at 8. And it's usually light out when I wake up. So I've come home after work and taken a nap before and woken up at 8 p.m., but it's still light outside.
Oh, shit. And you think
and
it's
I think I'm late for work.
The next fucking day, yeah.
And I scramble. Like, I've gone to the point where I've gotten all my shit together, gotten in the bathroom, almost hopped in the shower before I realized, wait a minute. This doesn't seem right. And I'll go and I'll look at the time again, and I'll be like, oh, p.m.
Yeah, and your heart's racing like I'm going to be late.
It's a fucking relief, though, but
hell yeah. Yeah.
It's annoying. Sleep is crazy.
Yeah, it fucks with you. It's like being drunk. There was that one time I right before I passed out, I told Aldi to like shut the fuck up and blow me, bitch. And I passed out. I don't say those kinds of things, especially around Aldi. She would rip my nuts off. I would never say that conscious ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty funny. And you said with your ex before you puked on her.
Oh, yeah. Like, and it wasn't in response to anything. I just said, or maybe she said like, hey, you need to. I think I had my head down and she said, hey, you need to keep your head up.
They're
going to
kick you out. Yeah.
And I said, none of your business. And then I puked on her.
That's classic.
Because I'm a gentleman.
Fucking great.
I don't remember that at all. I just know that from being told.
Oh, man.
You ready for some voicemails?
Fuck yeah.
All right. Austin's voicemail corner,
yeah. Hey, guys. It's Austin. I just seen so many damn people with mohawks and faux hawks and every damn kind of mohawk. I had one when I was 5 for 2 weeks. I thought it was cool because, you know, that's what was cool back in 1990. But seriously, I don't care how cool you think you are, how goth or punk or whatever the fuck you think you are, you're not. Mohawk is like the instant sign that you are a fucking douchebag loser, and that's all it means. man, there's so many fucking people have them nowadays, and it's just like, it's the cool fucking thing to do. If you want to do something and be like goth punk or stand out or whatever the fuck, don't get a mohawk and look like every other douchebag. I mean, Perez Hilton, totally not a fucking winner. That dude's had a faux hawk. How many loser-ass people have you seen with a mohawk and thought, oh, I want to be like that dude, bruh? Anyway, if you want to do something crazy and cool and original, even though it's not original, shave your head like a bald man. Leave the hair on the sides and all in the back. Maybe give yourself a fake comb-over because you want to be hardcore and different. No one ever wants to fucking be bald. When they're bald, they either try to hide it or they shave it all the fuck off. Stop being a douchebag. Just stop with the fucking mohawk. Seriously. It's so fucking irritating. That's it.
All right. I don't really give a shit about mohawks, to be honest. I don't necessarily think they make you a douchebag.
I have no problem with mohawks.
I think haircuts in general are entirely an aesthetic thing. I mean, I guess it depends on what you're after. If you're like punk rock and you want to offend people and shock them and shake their sensibilities and whatever, then sadly, even as pseudo mainstream as the mohawk has become, it still actually does shock these
still
retards.
To this day,
you can still walk into a grocery store with a mohawk and have some old lady scowl at you.
Yep.
But beyond that, it's just an aesthetic thing. It's just a choice. Sometimes it looks good, sometimes it doesn't, and whether or not it looks good is kind of up to the person looking at it anyway. So
that and what the person looks like in general. I've seen a lot of people with, like, even faux hawks. Like, it works for some people, but a lot of people I see with the faux hawks, or even the mohawks, with anything, when they're trying to be, you know, not original, but they're trying to, you know, shock or whatever. If it doesn't work with your face, I still just want to punch you in the face.
Yeah, the faux hawk bothers me more than the mohawk. And I guess the reason... It still doesn't really bother me, but the reason it bothers me more, I guess, is because it's usually associated with douchebags.
That's
like
true, yeah.
Pop collar douches.
Yeah.
And at least the mohawk, you've committed to it.
Yeah.
Like the faux hawk is like, I want a mohawk when I want a mohawk.
Yep.
But I want to be able to take my mohawk off.
Yep. Undo.
Which is still fine, but it's slightly douchier. I don't know. Either way, they don't really bother me.
Yeah, they don't bother me. It's the person that will bother me. Like if a guy has a mohawk or any hairstyle and he's a douche, then that'll piss me off. Kind of like when we were tapping into that episode 18. Like if there's a guy with a mohawk and he establishes himself as some group, like a punk rocker, fine, whatever. But if you look down upon me and, like, you know, look at me like, oh, you have no idea, you're not a punk, then I have a fucking problem, you know?
That's annoying. But yeah, it's all about the person's attitude.
And there's only so many fucking ways you can do your hair. I mean, it's hard to be original, but...
Oh, well, I don't even care that much about originality. It's fucking hair. Who cares?
Yeah, it's hair. Who
like,
cares?
Yeah. Okay, it might be slightly more different to shave your head like a bald man, like male pattern baldness, like
and combing over.
Austin's talking about, but that would look stupid.
It would, yeah.
And so unless your point is that you're trying to make people think about their social norms or whatever, then it just looks stupid. So that's why nobody does that. And if it looked cool, people would do it.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about like Perez Hilton being a douche who's had a faux hawk or whatever. Has he had a real mohawk? I don't know.
I know
he's done the faux hawk. Anyway, well, you talk about the only people who have mohawks are douches. Well, what about Mr. T? I mean, he's...
Mr. T, yeah.
He's the coolest. He's still rocking the mohawk.
Yeah. What is he, like 90 years old?
Yeah.
Still
I don't know.
I just don't care.
I just don't care. Like, it doesn't bother me. I see somebody with a mohawk, and I don't care.
Yeah, I've been styling my hair since I was in second grade, first grade. I've been messing around with my hair and shit. And, throughout the years, I always, you know, do my hair like something I've seen that I thought looked cool, whatever. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, it's like the clothes that you wear. Like, most people don't have that much originality to the clothes that they wear. They buy their clothes at the store just like everybody else. So unless you're like cross-dressing or like making your own clothes, you're going to look to a certain extent like everybody fucking else.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't care. Like, I don't care.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, if you're wearing a t-shirt that says something stupid on it, then I kind of care because that's like conveying a message. But
oh, man, that reminds me. There was that one day. Remember when I put up all those Christian shirts that were made to be hip, but they were using pre-existing, like, what's the word? They're using that, you know, like the pre-existing slogan from some other company, but they twist it around to make it Christian, and it's so ridiculous.
Oh, like the Jesus shirt that looks like a Reese's shirt, and it says King of Kings.
Yep.
Or whatever. Yeah.
That kind of shit. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I love that shit. Hilarious.
I feel like I should clarify. When I say I don't care what you look like or what you wear, you know, how you style your hair, I do to a certain extent. Like, if you look like an idiot, I'm gonna laugh at you.
Yeah.
And your clothes and your hairstyle and even just how you look physically in general is going to have an effect on a person's first impression of you.
Absolutely. On everybody, yeah.
But once I've had a conversation with you, all of that stuff matters a lot less. You can look like what I think a douchebag looks like, and then I can come to find out that you're not, and I'll be fine with you. So that's what I mean when I say I don't care. Like, it does make an impression, and a lot of times you can say, like, oh, there's a guy with a faux hawk. He's probably a douche.
Yeah.
There's a guy with a faux hawk with a pink collared shirt with the collar popped ordering Jaeger bombs at the fucking bar. He's probably a douche. But maybe he's not. You talk to him, you find out he's not, then I don't care anymore. You can wear your faux hawk and your pop collar all you want.
Yeah, we gotta stop judging. But the problem is, the chances are that guy is a douche are pretty high. So unless you know the guy comes over and talks to you, you'll probably just label him, you know, that guy's probably a douche, and look away.
But that's also a total package thing. Like if I just saw a guy with a faux hawk, I would not automatically go douche. Yeah. If I saw a guy with a faux hawk and a pink pop collared shirt ordering Jaeger bombs at the bar,
yeah,
standing around with a blonde girl who looks like she's tanned for fucking 50 years.
Yep.
That's kind of a total package.
The total package, yeah.
It's not the faux hawk that does it. It's all of it together.
Yeah, it's like a checklist.
So ultimately, it doesn't matter, but it does give you an idea of who you're dealing with when you see what they look like.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Austin sent us another voicemail.
Oh, let's hear it.
Hey, Chad, it's Austin. Just had a question. What is your biggest fear? Mine's pretty simple and common, I guess. My biggest fear is death. I know that sounds retarded, but it's not necessarily death, and much as it is my lack of belief of the afterlife and my fear that it'll basically be blackness and I won't exist. I'll just be dead in every sense of the word. That scares the living shit out of me. So I was just wondering what scares you, and if one of you says snakes or spiders, I will think that much lower of you. Bye.
Well, I want to thank Austin. Thank you for leaving this voicemail, because this, though it doesn't relate to anything, it really caught me off guard, and I've never really thought about this.
Yeah, I don't actually know what my biggest fear is.
Yeah, my biggest fear, like, I just keep going on throughout my day, and I never really thought about it. I've had fears as a kid, but, like, right here and now, if you really think about it, it took me a while to really come up with my biggest fear, and I have a few fears. Like, my biggest fear is when I'm in a room with a girl and she gets naked and we're doing intimate things.
I should have fucking known it had something to do with this.
She, don't laugh. She takes her pants off and she doesn't have a vagina.
Really? Is that?
I'm just kidding. Okay. Fuck. my biggest fear.
I didn't know. Like, I honestly
that
don't
is
know.
Scary. What would you
I
say
guess,
to that? What
I don't know if
that'd
be scary so much as just kind of like annoying. Like, God damn it.
Okay, well.
Tricked again.
All right, I'm sorry. But my biggest fear is if you've ever, and you can lick my balls if you laugh at this. I fucking hate you. But if you've ever seen the movie Signs,
I'm not
you.
Laughing at you. I'm just laughing.
Fuck
okay,
you,
go
Cal.
Ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
God damn it.
I don't know what it is yet, so I'm not laughing at you.
If you've seen the movie Signs, there's that in the beginning where Mel Gibson loses his wife. She was in an accident. She was in a car accident, and her body is pinned up between a tree and the car.
Yeah.
And she's going to die. and the paramedics, he shows up, he, you know, he's frantic, you know, what happened? And they tell him, you know, she's not going to live through this. You might want to go say your last words. So he walks up to her and he's talking to her, and they both know she's not going to live through this. They remove that car. She will bleed out. She's dead. There's nothing they can do about it. My biggest fear is that kind of thing, like being in that moment of death with someone I love, not so much in my death, but with someone I love or care for, and I'm in that moment, and I know they're going to die. It's absolutely terrifying. Like, what do you say? What do you, there's nothing, there's no script for how you should feel. And I can't predict that.
I could see at all. That.
No one can. And it's just the most terrifying thing I could ever imagine. So
I don't know if I would consider that terrifying or just really, really sad.
Sad. It's terrifying in the way, like, you
I get it.
It's like any unknown, you know, is terrifying. You're completely, reality checks out, and there's something completely new that you've never been exposed to at all, and it just hits you full force like a fucking semi-truck right there. And what do? And there's no script. You just, feelings are exploding, and, you know, it's just terrifying to me. What would you do, you know? Not to be a downer.
I don't know if this is really related, but that reminded me of this. And because we were talking about dreams, I've had dreams. I've had dreams where I've killed people.
Jesus.
On accident, though.
Okay.
Like, or actually, I had one dream. This was the most disturbing.
Yeah.
I had a dream that when I lived with my mom, we had cats. And one of the cats and I were outside, which was weird to begin with because those were indoor cats. But anyway, we were outside in the front yard, and I had, it was one of those things where, like, it made sense in the dream, but not when I woke up. I had a canister of tear gas.
Yeah. Tear gas?
Yeah. Which,
okay.
And I was holding the cat down and tear gassing the cat. And the cat was like reacting and like, meow, meow, and I was laughing. I thought it was the funniest thing.
Yeah.
And it made sense in the dream. This was hilarious. But I ended up killing the cat.
Yeah.
Not intentionally. I wasn't trying to kill the cat. And afterwards, like, I just sat there going, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. I can't undo this. What the hell did I just do? And in a way, it's not the same thing, but it kind of reminded me.
I see where you're getting at.
And I've had other dreams where I've accidentally killed someone or done something horrible, and it's like,
there's no undo.
There's no undo for this. Yeah, this is like, I don't know. I guess it's not really that related, but.
No, I can see how it's related, yeah.
That's kind of like, not really scary so much as just like, just awful, just horrific.
Yeah.
But in terms of my greatest fear, I don't really fear death. And actually it's funny because I don't fear death for the same reason that Austin does fear death. Like I don't believe there's an afterlife. I believe when you're dead, you're lights done. Out. I believe you don't exist in the sense that you think of yourself, like as a personality, until your brain develops to the point where you start to develop that personality. You start to develop into a person in the sort of like metaphysical sense.
Yeah.
And once you die, you're done because your brain stops working, and that's where all that shit was happening to begin with. So you're done. There's nothing. The thing is, the distinction I would make is that there's not blackness. It's not like everything goes black and you can't feel anything or hear anything or see anything. You're just gone. You're not even around to realize that you're gone. That's why I don't fear it, because I won't be there to be afraid of it. When I'm dead, I'm dead. Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore.
I think that's where what he was trying to explain, but
except that he was saying that that's scary to him. To me, it's not, because it won't matter, because I won't know about it.
I can see being terrified of like knowing you're going to die,
like the process of death,
and you're suffering in some way.
Like, I personally would prefer to die in my sleep.
Yeah,
because I won't know. I won't realize it. I wouldn't want to get shot a bunch of times, because I would almost certainly live through that long enough to feel the pain.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want to get stabbed to death or die in a car accident. But I'd prefer to die in my sleep, because I won't be there to know about it. But my greatest fear.
Yeah, what's your greatest fear?
The best I could come up with, I think, and it's not even so much a fear as just like a general weird sensation I get. Ever since I was a little kid, I've had this notion in the back of my head, and I didn't know how to articulate it until fairly recently, that like, I feel like everyone else in the world has meetings that I'm not invited to, where they teach each other things and discuss things, and I've mostly gotten over it, but it was a big problem as a kid. Like, And I think where it comes from is like when I first started school, like before I started school, I had a couple of friends from like the apartment complex I lived in.
Yeah.
But when I first started school, it seemed like everybody at school already knew each other. And I think that was because some of them went, I started school in kindergarten. I never went to preschool. I think some of them went to preschool together. I think a lot of them lived in the same like little subdivision neighborhoods and played with each other. And I didn't know any of these kids, but they all seemed to know each other. And so I felt like automatically I felt like I got this sense, like I said, like there's these secret meetings that they're all having that I'm not invited to. And as I got older, there would be things that just common things that people know about that I just wouldn't. Like I guess a more recent one would be like, how do you get an oil change?
Yeah.
I didn't fucking know. And nobody had ever told me.
Yeah,
seems like
up,
everybody but me knows. I knew I had to get one, but I didn't know how. I didn't know. I knew I had an idea of where to go, but I didn't know like usually the oil change places look kind of like a garage. Like there's a big garage door. I don't know.
You drive up to that. It doesn't have a sign like drive here.
Yeah, you drive up and they just open the door and wave you in, or maybe the door's already open. I just didn't know. Things like that. Things like going to the bank, going to the post office. Just things that everybody else seemed to know how to do almost by nature.
Yeah,
and nobody ever told me how to do it. I always felt like I was behind on these things. Like everybody else, was having these secret meetings that I didn't know about where they were all telling each other about these things and I never got invited.
Yeah, I experienced that going to school. Like you said, like they had secret meetings. Like I'd go to school, the first day of school, everybody knew where to go.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I didn't know where to go. And everybody's, you know... Thank God it was like a follow the leader kind of thing. If I was by myself, and there have been situations where I've been by myself, I have no fucking clue what to do as a kid. You just, like, what do you do? No one told you. No one taught you. And that kind of, you know, ties into when you grow up, nobody told you how to open a bank account or pump gas.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in your teens or preteens.
Yeah,
you know?
Pumping gas. Pumping gas is so simple.
It's so simple. But if nobody shows you.
If nobody ever told me how to do it, like, it's not complicated, but you do have to know, do you pay first or do you pay after? And the funny thing is you can actually do both depending on where you go. You can do either one.
Yeah.
You can pay at the pump with a credit card
and
depending on where you go.
Any of that going into it.
And you have to select your fuel grade before you start pumping. I didn't really realize that the first time I went there.
Yeah.
I knew there were different fuel grades. I just didn't really think about it.
Like,
I didn't
which
know.
Which one do I pick? Yeah.
I didn't
if
know.
No one tells you, you don't know.
And I guess I could blame some of that on my parents because they just apparently it never occurred to them to tell me any of these things.
Yeah.
But that's like I said, it's not necessarily a fear, but there's always been this idea in the back of my head and it sort of led to a social phobia. Like I don't want to do things that I've never done before because I feel like everybody else knows how it's done. And if I fuck it up, they're all going to be laughing at me.
I know how you feel.
Because they all know how it works. Then they'll be looking at me like, you don't fucking know how this works?
Yeah. It's that process of growing up and it's that bullshit where you look around and everybody fucking knows. And that's what adds to that weird feeling, that fear, because if maybe a few people are looking around, you know, like, what do we do? And you could identify with them. That never happens.
Yeah.
You're always the only one and you got to figure it out for yourself and everything.
And it's stupid because I know that what I ought to do in situations like that is just fucking go for it. Do what I think I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
If there's somebody to ask, ask them. And if somebody does start laughing at me, go, fuck you. You've never made a fucking mistake?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I've always thought about that.
And sometimes I can get the balls. Like, I'll be in the right mood to do that.
That's what it takes. Yeah, you need the balls.
But a lot of times, it's like, and I will avoid doing things for the longest fucking time because I've never done it before.
Like going to buy a fucking car. Like, what do? You walk up, and they, you know, but what do you do? Yeah, how do you talk them down? There's all this talk, you know, talking them down, and everybody's been there, but nobody's guided you through this. You're just in there like, oh, fuck.
And I had no idea the first time I bought a car, I bought it from an individual. I had no idea how the whole process of, like, signing over the title goes.
Yeah.
And, like, you're supposed to write down how much you were charged for it so they can charge you the appropriate amount in taxes. I had no idea about any of that.
There's this routine.
And you
got
to go to the
about.
Secretary of State. Well, that's here. It's the DMV and other places or whatever.
Yeah,
but
you
got to go and like register the vehicle, register your title, pay the taxes, all this garbage. I didn't know any of this. And if I didn't have anybody that I could pull aside and say, I don't know how to do this. Can you tell me? I would have just been fucked. I would have looked like an idiot.
Yeah.
I would have called up some guy selling a car, showed up and looked like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, today, you know, you grow past that after you you know, get over those speed bumps. But back in the day when you're growing up, it's terrifying. That whole aspect, like everybody's laughing at you, like you don't know how to do this.
Yeah, everybody
you fucking
knows
idiot. It, that will really fuck with you. And that's happened over and over and over with me where I go into that situation. I look like a dumbass and I go home and I'm like, I feel like shit. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to ever go out of my home again.
I had to go to court once. I had to go to court and yeah. I knew where the court was. That was all I knew. I had a piece of paper that I got in the mail.
Yeah.
And I knew I had to go to court, but all I knew was the address of the building. So I walked in the front door and I'm like, okay, well, there's nothing to the right. So I guess I got to go to the left. There's a metal detector. I assume I probably have to go through that.
Yeah.
So I started to go through the metal detector and the guy sitting at the metal detector, like, took my keys or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And I made it through the metal detector. So that seemed to be the right thing to do.
Yeah. And then...
And then to the right was a bunch of... Well, I found out later they were courtrooms, but I didn't know for sure. They were just giant doors
yeah.
and little benches. And straight ahead in front of me was a desk or like a clerk.
Yeah.
I didn't really know.
Where do you go
first? I had to guess. I had to guess that, you know, it made sense, I guess, that
logically.
I would go to the clerk.
Yep.
So I went to the clerk and I handed him my piece of paper and it worked out okay. They told me where to go and what to do, but I had no idea going in there. And it could have very well worked out that they would have been like, okay, you're all set and never told me what to do from there.
And yeah, you don't need to be here. So
I would have been
you're
fucked.
All set. All right,
I
have a good
no
day.
No idea.
Yeah. And you'd be like, well, but I need. Yeah. That happened to me when I went to court. Yeah. And I had to ask. I'm like, I always say when I'm in those situations nowadays, I'm like, I don't mean to be ignorant, but I've never been in this situation before. Can you please help me? And each time, thank God, you know, they've helped me out. So.
Yeah.
Because fuck. Like I've been here many times in court. You know, I know what I'm doing. No, I didn't feel as bad in court, you know, asking. But there's other situations, like going to the airport and all that shit.
You know? Even once I got the information on where to go from the clerk, I still didn't really know what to do. Because the clerk told me to go to courtroom B or whatever it was, or
yeah.
2, or I don't remember if they're numbered or lettered or whatever.
Yeah.
But told me which courtroom to go to. I walk in there and there's people everywhere. And there's, you know, the benches in the back that I get. What do you call that? The audience
yeah.
sits in? I don't know what you call it.
Yeah.
But there's the benches in the back. There's the judge up front. And there's like there's seats and a podium.
Like,
and I guess the defendant or prosecutor or whatever can go to either one. But
yeah,
but I didn't know, you know, do I walk in there?
I didn't know which was which. Yeah. When I went in, oh my God. I'm like, I was the only one there. And I'm like, do I sit at the bench?
Yeah, do I wait my turn? Does somebody call my name?
Do I sit at the bench right by one of the podiums? And that's what I did. I sat by one of them, and a lawyer walked in and sat at the other one. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? And then I left because I'm like, fuck this. I'm not going through this again. Came back a little later. There's a lot of people, none of them sitting at that bench by one of the podiums. Thank God. Yeah, you just feel awkward. It's just, you don't know. Fuck.
Yeah, I didn't know.
There's no instructions.
Do I go in straight up to the fucking podium? What do I do? Because there's all these other people, but are they there for some weird reason to watch my court case? I don't know.
I thought I was the only one at that time, for this court
date. It turns out, when I went, it turns out that all these people were here for their court dates too, and it was just going to be a quick thing. They'd call your name, you'd go up, you'd do your thing, and you'd leave.
Yep.
I didn't know that, though.
Yeah, when I was looking at that lawyer, I'm like, so you're the lawyer against me. You're on the other side, you know, and I looked him up and down like, this fucking dick. He wasn't even a lawyer that had anything to do with my case.
Yeah.
It was so awkward. But I know where you're coming from. Yeah, that's absolutely... That's terrifying to me, and I've been very discouraged to do.
It got so bad
other things.
when I was younger, a lot younger.
Yeah,
I haven't had this problem in a long fucking time. And it probably sounds stupid, like to say that I have like a social phobia, or I don't even know if phobia is the right word, but I guess it is because it's an irrational fear. But to say that I have a social phobia probably sounds retarded, since we're doing this podcast. And I'm fairly outspoken.
Yeah,
but. But it's different, and I've come a long way. But in like early high school, it got so bad that I would go to restaurants with my mom, like with my family.
Yeah.
And I would make my mom order for me. because I was afraid to do it, because I was afraid I would get asked a question that I didn't know the answer to, or I would fuck it up somehow.
Yeah.
How do you fuck it up? I don't know.
Yeah.
And if they ask you a question, you just answer the question. But, like, I would get really nervous if I would order something and they would ask me, like, if I would order some kind of breakfast meal thing, and they would say, do you want, what kind of toast do you want with that?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And of course, I've heard of white bread. I know what white toast. I could have just said white.
But or I could have from.
Or I could have said, what kind of toast do you have?
Yeah.
But I would freeze up. I'd be like, I did not know this question was coming. Fuck.
Yeah.
Why did I not know this question was coming? Everybody else knows. There's nothing in the menu that says...
People come here all the time. They do this all the time.
And it got so stupid. And eventually, yeah, I just kind of had to get over it. But
yeah, it made me rethink, like, whenever the day comes when I'm a parent, I will explain to my kid, like, all that shit so they don't have to go through that. I don't know if that's a plus, if that'll fuck with their development.
Yeah.
You know, they should go through shit on their own, but I'd like to help them out with all the basics, because that's just the worst.
I think part of it might have had to do with the fact that my parents split up and I didn't spend a lot of time with my dad, because I think a lot of that stuff would have been stuff my dad would have told me about.
Yeah.
Like buying cars and shit.
Well, shit, pumping gas.
Like, pumping gas, yeah.
Just show you how to do it once, you know.
Not that that's inherently masculine stuff. I just think in my family, that's probably how it would have worked out if they were still together.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Anyway, that's a lot of time spent on that subject. But
yeah.
I really don't know what my greatest fear is. I guess probably like snakes and spiders.
Ooh, pissed them off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other fears?
Well, I'm afraid of heights. But
I'm a little afraid of heights. Yeah, like as a kid.
I think the vast majority of people are afraid of heights.
They're just
extent.
Afraid of falling. Yeah, it's common. I mean,
basically, yeah.
And some people, you know, don't feel that fear. They don't see that coming. Like, this could possibly break. They have that faith and all that shit. You know, it's built. It's solid. It looks solid. All right. I don't give a shit.
And it's a somewhat irrational fear. You know, like, we talked about how I don't really like fear. That's not why I like to go on roller coasters. But that doesn't change the fact that when I get to the top of the first hill,
yeah,
I am freaking out a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's irrational because I'm locked in and I've been on roller coasters so many times before. I know I'm not going to fall out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to die. The roller coaster's not going to come off the track. And yet I'm still, there's like a, it's like a, it's almost like it's so deep. It's like an instinctual thing. Like you just can't help.
Yeah.
Like it's not rational. It's like just this gut feeling like,
well, I'm always on
edge. I should not be this high.
Like when it comes to heights, I'm not as afraid as I was, but I'm still on guard with myself. I don't step onto something knowing, oh, a lot of people have stepped on this. They're walking all over it, thinking nothing will happen, because there's like that lighthouse story you were telling me about.
Oh, well, yeah. When I,
like,
my mom got really into lighthouses for a little while, and we went to a bunch of them here in Michigan. Like, we visited them. She had paintings of lighthouses and like lighthouse calendars.
Just super into lighthouses.
She just got really into lighthouses. And she's not anymore. It's just like a weird phase she went through. But anyway. So we went to visit this lighthouse, and we climbed up to the top of it, and there was like this, I don't know what to call it, like a deck outside
of
it.
The deck up at the top with
the
railing.
It was a circle that went all the way around the outside of it, and there was a railing.
Yeah.
And there were tons of people out there, and there was a railing. I wasn't going to fall. I didn't even think I was going to fall. But as soon as I stepped out onto that deck, I felt like it was tilting down and like I was already falling.
Yeah, like you're just coming out and the thing's like tilting back.
Like it was tilting so that if I stepped out on it and lost my footing, I would stumble forward and fall off. And I knew that wasn't true. I'd seen the thing already. It was completely level. But it was because I was up so high, it was this irrational thing like I should not be this high. And I do not want to look down at the ground over this edge. And
yeah, well, I've had experiences where I'm up high and I'm on something and there's been a lot of people on it, and I'll get on it and I'll step out and I'll hear shit like breaking or, you know, making noises like that startle me, or something will sway or kind of bend. And it's, I hate thinking, and I don't ever want to think like, that's normal, it's fine, because shit happens.
It does.
It can, and I want to be on guard at all times. I don't want
to
be
a certain
like,
extent,
oh, I'm safe, you know, and then it happens.
To a certain extent, though, you got to say to yourself, what are the odds that I'm going to be the asshole that steps out here and breaks the fucking thing?
It doesn't restrict me from, you know, going out on it. I'm just always on guard a little bit, just a little bit, you know. You never know.
I'm really not afraid of a lot of things, though. Like, I'm not afraid of snakes or spiders. I don't really like spiders, but I'm not afraid of them.
I'll run from a bee, not because I'm afraid of it. I just don't want to get stung.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not afraid of bees.
Scream like a bitch.
I've been stung before. I know I'll live through it.
Yeah.
I know I'm not allergic, so I'm not afraid of them. But yeah, I don't want to get stung.
I do have a deep fear of the ocean, like being out in the middle of the ocean alone. I don't know. There is
something a little scary about being out in the ocean.
I don't know, you can't feel
the bottom.
Yeah, I don't know. It's miles deep. I don't know what's in it. Other, you know, things that want to eat me and you're helpless.
Yeah, chances are you're going to be fine. But I had a nightmare once, going back to dreams again.
Yeah.
Where it was really stupid. Most of my nightmares that I've had in my lifetime have been things that are not really that scary at all once I wake up.
Once you wake up.
But you know how dreams can be weird? Like you can be dreaming and you're in a house and it's a house you've never seen before in real life, but in your dream, that's your house and there's nothing weird about that.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same kind of idea. Like, things will be terrifying to me in the dream and that makes perfect sense while I'm asleep. But as soon as I wake up, I'm like, really? That was scary? But this one dream was kind of scary, I guess, legitimately. I was out in the ocean and I was swimming and I got to a point where I couldn't feel the bottom anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I was just swimming out in open water.
Yeah.
And I looked down and there was this giant shadow that swam underneath me.
Yeah.
And it looked kind of like a big gecko or something with like an arrowhead shaped head.
Just some kind of beastly thing.
It was huge. Like an alligator, but like with a head shaped like a spade.
Okay, yeah.
And it was huge and it was underneath me. And it never did anything to me, but it was how scary would that be to see just swim underneath you in the water?
Something you've never seen before and it's underneath you?
That kind of goes to the same general thought that you don't know what's down there.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of scary about it.
Terrifying, yeah.
I also, in that same dream, that thing never did anything to me. I eventually got out of the water, but I was still I was in the shallow part of the water. Like, I could feel the ground again.
Yeah.
There were all these seals.
Yeah.
And they started biting me.
Jesus.
And I was attacked by a pack of seals.
As if the shadow wasn't creepy enough.
And the
fucking seals.
That's the part that's ridiculous to me. Because I was being attacked by a pack of seals and they were biting me. And the funny thing is they weren't really doing any damage, but it hurt and they were leaving red marks.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying because there was a pack of them. But once I woke up, it was like being attacked by babies or something. Like, it was like being attacked by a pack of puppies with no teeth.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big of a deal, but...
Yeah, I can understand that. My big fear of the ocean really swept me when I saw Titanic for the first time. And I was in the theater, I was watching it, and, you know, Leo froze to death, you know, and she dropped him.
Yeah.
And I went home and I cried, not because that was a sad moment, but because it reminded me of my fear. And this was, you know, I was a kid, but
yeah,
I went home and cried because that was like the most terrifying thing, just being out in the middle of the ocean and it was kind of sad, but anyway, yeah, I was home crying my ass off because it was so terrifying to me, but I got over it. I'm not going to be out in the middle of the ocean and just scream like a bitch, like, oh my God, the ocean, I'm not going in. You know, I've grown up, but.
Are you afraid of the dark at all?
No, not at all. I used to be.
I am a little bit. But
still?
No, but the thing is, I know it's irrational, and I can completely, like, kind of control it. But if this room were to go completely pitch black and I literally couldn't see anything.
Like, pitch black, absolute darkness, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of just having the lights out.
Okay.
But absolute pitch darkness where you can't see your own hand in front of your face.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary. Just because it's the same idea as the ocean. You don't know what's out there.
Yeah. Oh, I was in Mammoth Cave and they, you know, were miles under the, you know, sea level, and they turned all the lights out and it was absolute darkness to a point. Like, I couldn't see my hand in front of me. It was quiet as shit.
See, that would actually be a lot scarier to me than if the lights all went out in this room, because you're in a fucking cave.
Yeah.
You really don't know what's
that
in there.
That was, yeah.
At least in this room, I can reasonably expect that I pretty much know what's in here. There's not going to be like a shark or a cluster of bats or anything.
It wasn't even like what's out there. It was just the fact I don't know where I am or where to go. I'm under rock and, you know, deep in the earth. I don't even know where the fuck people are. It was kind of terrifying, you know.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's enough about fear.
Yeah. Well, you ready for some stories?
Fuck yeah. Let's get the story on.
Teacher regrets mock wedding. This happened in Maine. A Falmouth Elementary School teacher has apologized for participating in a mock wedding in which he was the bridegroom and the bride was one of his students. Paul Rosenblum, a fourth grade teacher at Plummer Mott School, agreed to take part after much cajoling from his class, according to a letter to parents from Principal Karen Boffa. The girl's marriage proposal to her teacher had been much discussed in the class, and they felt it should result in a playground wedding, Boffa wrote in the letter dated June 29th. Boffa received 5 or 6 phone calls inquiring about the incident, enough to warrant an investigation by the principal, according to Superintendent Barbara Powers. None of the calls were from families of students of Rosenblum, a 22-year teaching veteran whom Powers described as a very gregarious, teach-from-the-heart kind of guy. So, I'm not going to read this whole article, but basically what happened was this guy...
Yeah, what happened?
...was teaching his fourth grade class, and this little girl had a little crush on him, and she proposed marriage to him.
Yeah.
I want to marry you.
And they joked about this in class, like the students were saying, oh, you should marry her, and blah, blah, blah. And eventually, the last day of school, he conceded and said, okay, we'll go out on the playground and we'll have a little fake wedding.
All right, yeah.
So he put on a black graduation robe gown thing, and she put on a white sheet for like a wedding dress.
Okay.
And they had a little fake ceremony, and the article makes a point of saying that he made a point of not going, like, you know, if let's say a kid was officiating the ceremony, and they do the normal thing, like, I now pronounce you man and wife, you may now kiss the bride.
Yeah.
Well, this teacher made a point of saying, well, we're not going to kiss.
Yeah.
Which, okay, right there, that seems to point to me that this was not a pedophile. This was just a silly thing that they did.
Yeah, like all year.
They ran around on the playground, and the kids had been joking with him all year long, like, you should do it, and we really want to do this. So he finally conceded and said, yeah, sure, let's do it.
Okay.
Well, now people are all up in arms because they think he's a fucking pedophile.
Of course they are. God.
It's not like he took her on a fucking honeymoon. Jesus Christ. They had a fake wedding. Maybe he shouldn't have done it. But the only reason I would say he shouldn't have done it is because he should have seen this kind of crazy bullshit coming, because he should have known that people are nuts. But what he actually did, I have no problem with.
Yeah, if this happened 20 years ago, there'd be no problem.
Nobody would care.
He's having fun, you know, with his students, being involved. Okay, but...
Yeah, it's like...
Of course there's a fucking uproar.
It's imagination super playtime. That's all it was.
Imagination super playtime nowadays is pedophilia.
And he was giving these kids what they'd asked for all year, kind of as like a treat for the last day of school.
Yeah.
Like, it's the last day, okay, let's have a little fun. That's all it was. And... this is retarded, because I was reading this article, and the website that this article is posted on allows for reader comments.
Yeah.
And I figured I'd click on the comments section, through, and I'd find nothing but, this is ridiculous, this is ridiculous.
Of course.
And there are some of those posts.
On the contrary. Yeah.
There are some of those posts, but the vast majority of the posts that I saw are people saying, obviously there's something wrong with this man.
Oh, that's so surprising. Yeah.
There was one asshole who actually said that this guy shouldn't be teaching elementary school to begin with, because men should not be teaching elementary school
to begin with.
For a man to want to be an elementary school teacher, this person thinks that they must be a pedophile.
Yep.
So all male elementary school teachers are pedophiles.
Yeah, that's a way to think.
How fucking retarded is that? And sexist. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Elementary kids should only be taught by females, because
otherwise they're pedophiles.
The only man who would want to educate a youngster would be a pedophile. How stupid is that?
Oh my God. Oh man. Faith in humanity gone.
Yeah, this goes back to what we were talking about before in previous episodes about how this pedophilia thing has gotten out of control. Pedophilia is something to be afraid of, sure. Like, you don't want your kid to be kidnapped and raped and potentially murdered to get rid of the evidence,
you know?
It's
out there.
It is out there, but to be looking for it so hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's just insane. He did this on the playground. A real pedophile would have made this a big secret. He wouldn't have done it in front of the whole class, you know, for everybody to witness outside.
Yeah, yeah.
He did it on the playground with every student from the class there to witness it.
Yeah, he would have taken, you know, the girl home and had outfits in his closet or some shit, you know.
He knew this was going to get back to the parents, and he never once thought to himself this was going to be a problem, because it was completely innocent.
Yeah. But like you said, he should have known, you know.
He should have known, but that's sad. It's sad to say that he should have known.
That is sad to me.
Even though I think he should have known, I do not blame him in the least. And in fact, I'm kind of saddened. He issued an apology, and it was a very heartfelt apology. He was kind of like, look, I had no idea this was going to offend anyone.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even realize that this could be taken as inappropriate. It was just a bit of fun. I'm really, really sorry. And I feel bad that he felt like he had to do that. And I understand why he did, because he could potentially lose his job over shit like this if enough people went nuts.
Yeah.
But I wish he would have just said, fuck you. It was make-believe.
Yeah. And we tapped on this before, like the whole people coming out and apologizing for shit just because people go nuts and they have power. They have this fucking power to make you lose your job, or this majority they have over bullshit and insanity.
The problem is the majority of people are not ready to be the martyr to their cause or whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely.
Like, if I was in his place, I wouldn't want to be the one guy who lost his job over something like this just to prove a point. Yeah. I would want to keep my fucking job.
Exactly.
So I would probably issue an apology too.
Just to, keep the job. Survival, yeah.
I am glad that he clarified and said, look, to me, this was just playtime.
Yeah, when
this
I first...
was just make-believe.
When I first heard about this, I was kind of worried.
I'm glad he didn't just say, I was wrong and I shouldn't have done this. I'm glad he clarified and said, look, I had no idea anybody was going to be offended by this.
Yeah, I really thought this was going to go in that direction. You know, he's a pedophile and like, oh God, what happened next, Kyle? Jesus.
I'm sorry you took it that way. In hindsight, I can kind of see how you took it that way, and I'm really sorry, but I never meant anything like that by it. It's basically what he said. He could have just said, it was wrong, and I'm sorry, and that's not what he said. And I'm glad that's not what he said.
Yeah, yeah. And I am ashamed of myself for thinking that it most definitely would have went in that direction. Like, oh, he ends up being a pedophile. That's society for you. You know, I'm ashamed for even thinking that would have went in that direction, but I was hoping because it'd be more entertaining, like, God, another pedophile, you know.
You wanted him to be a pedophile?
Well, not really, but but now it's more heartfelt and innocent, and that now I'm more angry. Just once again reminded how stupid people are.
I can't
believe. You get enough of them together, and they're all just...
Where are all
these
people?
Everything. Yeah. Like, they're everywhere.
I only really hear from them in the news and on the internet. I don't know any of these people personally.
Thank God.
Like, where are these people who, like, this asshole who said that males shouldn't be teachers?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Where do you live and who are you? Fuck you.
How do you hold this belief and not recognize that you are the crazy one? Everybody disagrees with you.
Punching in for the day to be an asshole.
Yeah, like, I don't get it. And people who seem to think that this is obviously a case of pedophilia. Like, sure,
oh,
okay,
fuck you.
All right. I could see this guy maybe agreeing to go along with a fake wedding because he was into kids. Maybe. That could maybe happen. But to say that it's obviously that, nothing happened. And
nothing
like I
happened,
said,
yeah.
If he was a real pedophile intent on fucking this little girl,
yeah,
he would not have done it where everybody can see.
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe it's the media's fault. Like, they see this out in the real world, and they've seen enough shit on TV where it's all about, you know, this pedophile witch hunt. They immediately think, oh, I know where this is going, you know, pedophile.
You know, the Catholic priests that get in trouble for touching kids, they didn't go up in the middle of Mass and fuck a kid in the mouth. That's not how it works. You do these things in secret. You don't do it where everybody can see.
I don't know. I can't understand how they can come from where they're coming from, knowing, you know, look at the facts. Look at the facts.
See, I really think that a lot of people are almost entirely reactionary.
Yeah,
they're like insects. Yes,
yeah,
exactly. They're like insects. Everything they do is a reaction to something else.
Yep. They don't even think for themselves.
It's
they're
all
lost
like
in their own fucking mind.
Impulsive and reflexive.
Yep.
Nothing.
Yeah.
They don't think anything through. They see man doing something that could be construed as romantic, but was in fact just child's play, but could be construed as romantic because it was marriage.
Yeah.
He does this with a kid. They hear something that sounds like romance, man, child, automatically pedophilia.
Yeah, automatically.
They don't take any of the actual facts into consideration.
Yeah, it's so sad to me. It sickens me. Pisses me off.
And, you know, little girls and little boys will sometimes say like to their parents. I never did this, but I've heard kids say it like,
yeah.
Mom, I want to marry you when I grow up. And you know, yeah. it sounds perverse to us, but it's a silly little kid thing. Yeah. They don't. Yeah, exactly. They didn't mean, Mom, when I grow up, I want to marry you and have sex with you. That's not what they meant. What they meant was, at this point, you are the greatest female influence in my life, and I love you.
Yeah.
And so you are the woman of my, you are the woman in my life.
Yep. And that's, I want to marry you.
And it's completely innocent.
Absolutely. It's sweet.
And so when this little girl said, I want to marry you, Mr. Rosenblum, that's exactly what it was. And she did not think that they actually got married. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
And neither did he. Neither did any of the kids in the class. Nobody involved in the actual incident had a problem with it.
Yep.
This little girl is not going to be scarred for life. Neither is anybody in the class. If anything, making a big deal out of it like this is actually going to cause harm to the kids.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because now they're going to sit and they're going to go, was that wrong?
Was that
teacher doing something to us? Was that, you know, now they're going to start thinking of themselves potentially as a victim.
Exactly. God, fucking pathetic.
People are assholes.
God damn. That's another fear of mine. Like bringing a child into this world where these people are the vast majority, where they're taken over. Like, what do you do?
Well, shit. We had all kinds of other things to touch on, but it's getting kind of late. I got to go to bed, and the show's getting a little long.
Yeah.
So,
I'm glad we brought that up.
Yeah.
That story really saddens me.
Yeah, but I guess that's it. Send us an email, Kyle@IJustHadATerribleThought.com.
Or Orion@IJustHadATerribleThought.com.
Leave us a voicemail, 616-328-5581.
That's 616-328-5581.
As usual, check out the Facebook, check out the Twitter, comment on the website, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, and
blah.
Hey, if you get your stickers for anyone out there, please let us know so we know who got them, so we don't run into that shit like we're... Brandon did not get his stickers, and hopefully he will again.
You sent him out a third time.
I did. So, God damn.
So, we'll see if the postal service eats them again.
Yeah, just let us know if you got your stickers. That would help out a lot.
If you don't get them this time, Brandon, I mean, no offense or anything. I'm pretty sure you said last time, don't bother sending them again. If you don't get them this time, then I'm probably giving up, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your fucking mailman. Punch him in the nuts.
I don't know if it's his. I don't know what it is. I do know this. We tried to order. You can order custom stamps from this website and with like whatever image you want on them.
Yeah,
but
we thought
it'd be cool to have our own stamps.
That would be. Yeah.
When we mailed out the stickers. So I tried to order these stamps and they just had the Itch Hat logo and it said, I just had a terrible thought. And they refused our order.
Yeah.
They would not produce these stamps for us. They didn't give us a reason. The only thing I can think of is I just had a terrible thought somehow sounds
like a terrorist.
It sounds negative, so it sounds like terrorist to them or something.
Terrorism,
I don't know.
Yep.
God damn. Did you write, I just had a terrible thought on the envelopes?
I wrote itchhat.com. That's it.
See, then I don't know then.
In the, yeah.
Unless there's something like, does itchhat sound like jihad or something? It sounds like some kind of Muslim word.
I never thought about that.
They find it offensive.
They're so fucking fucked in their own minds.
I have no idea.
Is this terrorism? It sounds like a throwaway.
Maybe your parents are finding them. Well, I don't know if you live with your parents.
Or maybe your mailman is listening because he has all your fucking stickers.
If you live with your parents, maybe your parents are stealing them. If you live with somebody else, maybe they're stealing them.
Yeah.
I just want to plant a little paranoia in your life.
Yeah, please let us know. Just let us know, yeah, if you get them, please. It'll help us out.
is there anything else?
That's it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
As always, thanks for listening, guys. We will check you next week.
Peace out, niggas.
Peace out, bitch.
Ow!